This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Saturday morning to you. Unlike the previous eight, it's not sunny today. Matt Harkins is behind the glass, taking your calls at 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on Twitter at KDPomp. Yeah, it's kind of a murky kind of day, and I guess this is what we're in for now for the next who knows how long, Matt. We're going to pay the price. Everyone knew we were going to pay the price, so we're paying the price, right?
Exactly. I mean, I could do it without the rain, though.
Yeah, it's annoying, but it is what it is. And, hey, we have a big day planned for you here today. Got 2 hours here at 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Also, after that, we're going to do a Pitt Panther preview show. Doran Dickerson and I, as Pitt gets ready for their final two games after three straight losses. And, man, they want to reverse this a little bit here because going 7-0 maybe heightened the expectation meter, and they haven't lived up to it. Now they're 7-3 facing a team like Louisville, which had a crushing loss last week as well. We'll get into that at 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock. And over on KDK Plus today, we have quadruple header of WPIL championship games. The first one is underway. It's Matt Sieg, the Penn State commitment. He is going to go to Penn State, but right now he'd like to win a championship, and they're taking on Clairton. Fort Cherry is the number one seed, Clairton number two. After that, it's Seton LaSalle against South Park, another 1-2 matchup, and then Central Valley Avonworth, a 2-5 matchup in that one. And then later tonight at 8 p.m., all on KDKA+, it's Pine Richland and the Peters Township Indians. So that's going to be a full day of football. You can watch it all on KDKA+, and I'll be doing the late game with Arthur Motes on that one, so we'll have a lot of stuff going on here. The Fort Cherry-Clairton game is underway, and it's scoreless early on. 412-928-9370. We have a lot to get into, like the Steelers. So I ask you today, after what you watched Thursday night, what is the Steelers' ceiling at this point? You might remember 2020 when 11-0 was followed by a collapse. You know, you can make conclusions, and I just mentioned Pitt. They start 7-0, and I think people raise the expectation bar quite high, and you can't reach it. So at 8-3, what do you think the Steelers are in for down the stretch here following a 24-19 loss at the hands of the Cleveland Browns? And that game was weird in so many ways. It really was. The Browns, I can throw statistics at you that make you think that they would have lost this game by 40 points. 1-for-10 on third down. You know, they didn't get much of a run game going at all, except on fourth down. That's when they won this game. That was the difference. If you're going to look at it, the Steelers were 1-for-3 on fourth down, and Cleveland was 4-for-4 on fourth down. There are a lot of decisions to break down. Number one, Russell Wilson takes a sack on a 3rd-and-3 at the Cleveland 32. He loses 9 yards, which forced Chris Boswell to take 58 yards on the field goal attempt. In those conditions, the wind was blowing hard. Not yet snow on the field, but still, he missed it wide right. I, at the time, thought they were going to punt the ball and just, you know, let the defense go to work. Nothing against Chris Boswell. He could hit 58 yards, but those wind conditions made it very difficult. So that was one of them. I thought it was an interesting use of Justin Fields. Some may say it was just confusing at times. He was in there a lot, but a couple of times they were rushed 4th-and-2 from the Cleveland 38, and he loses 2 yards on a 4th-down. It seems like they were just not in sync whatsoever. Maybe that's because it was a short week, and Justin Fields hasn't done all that much, you know, in that role leading up to this. Was that the right time to implement it after just one practice, and all of a sudden he's in there quite a bit? Now, he did have a 30-yard run to the outside, but outside of that, there wasn't much there for Justin Fields. Steelers win the turnover battle 3-1. When they do that, they normally win. But it was Thursday night, and you know what happens on Thursday night. I should have known, but I thought really the Steelers are going to buck the trend here, given how bad Cleveland had been there. I looked at the last three games. Cleveland was just atrocious, especially against New Orleans. They have nothing to play for but pride, and the pride was what they utilized and the motivation to beat the Steelers. The Steelers are 1-9 on their last 10 Thursday night games, and there is your problem right there, 1-9. And you can try to analyze that as best you can. What does that mean? Very short time to implement anything. You know, strategy becomes more of a thing than conditioning, I think, at that point. You got to do the right things and make the right calls, and there were blown timeouts there that I thought were bad. There was that the one that really stands out was, of course, at the end of the first half, they left one in their pocket. They could have used one. They ran 40 seconds off the clock. But also, on the one play that looked like intentional grounding, where they called illegal touching instead, should have been fourth down, loss of a down, move back. Instead, it turned out to be a choice between 3rd and 7 and 4th and 2. In my mind, I thought Cleveland was going to kick a field goal, or at least try to. It was a 43-yard attempt that would have taken the lead. I would have preferred that if I were Mike Tomlin. The reason I say that is because I think you had plenty of time left to go down the field and get a game-winning field goal from Chris Boswell, if at all possible, as opposed to giving them two downs. You know, they got two downs, 3rd and 7, and then a 4th down if necessary. Well, they wasted no time in converting that and extending that drive. So there were a lot of things going on in that game. Another one that kind of shocked me, was the fact that Cleveland came into that game with an NFL worst 46 sacks. A new left tackle essentially had no experience there. And the Steelers, which rely on pressure and sacks, only got one sack in that game, none for T.J. Watt. The only one was Nick Herbert coming around the edge and getting a strip sack. So, very strange game indeed. Myles Garrett got the better of Watt in the one-on-one comparison, even though they don't play against one another. But 5 tackles, 3 sacks, a forced fumble. And then afterwards, George Pickens picks a bad time to call the Browns a bad football team. I'm not a fan of that. I just don't think it's necessary. Now, if you back it up, you better back it up. Because the next time they play in 2 weeks, they're going to remember that one. And the last Hail Mary is another one. That play to me, you know, let me read this to you because I got this a lot. Why was there no interference on this? Says Doug in, I think he's in from La Trobe on Twitter. Doug says, why no interference on that play? Well, if you watch that, first of all, Doug, I will tell you this. You can hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. You're not going to get interference calls on Hail Marys. You just don't. I don't even know when the last time I saw one. Number two, if you break down, everyone's upset about George Pickens and Newsom going at it. If you break it down and look at all the video angles that you could possibly get from people who were there, it looked like George Pickens had the guy by the head and was going to take him off into the stands. People thought it was the other way around. A lot of contact on Hail Marys. I never expect to see a flag just because there never has been one. And I don't think in a desperation, that, you know, officials know what this is. Unless it's completely egregious, you're never going to get that call. 412-928-9370. Let's get to the lines. We got people want to talk. So much to talk about, so little time. We'll begin with Phil in Elizabeth, who joins us right now. Hello, Phil. How are you?
Hey, good, Bob. Hey, I'm doing good, Bob. I was talking to my friends, and they agreed with me. Do you think when we play them back in December, meaning the Browns, do you think Mike Tomlin and his whole team are going to say, it's revenge time now? You know what? We know what to look out for and what not to do. And hopefully it won't be snowing. And T.J. Watt will say, okay, it's revenge time now, Myles Garrett. And I really do think, with it being a Sunday and a 1 o'clock game, I really, truly believe that we will defeat the Browns in December.
Well, Phil, I think the next time they meet, there's going to be it's a different scenario. They're coming here. I think the Steelers will be highly motivated. They can't afford another loss to them. I would expect a big line, and I would expect the Steelers to cover that line. Now, I thought they were going to win that game the other night pretty easily because of the way Cleveland had played and all the statistical data you could dig up on that game, knowing that the Steelers were 8-2 had a chance really to give themselves some extra breathing room over the Baltimore Ravens. Everything that was at stake there. And they just came out and kind of laid a dud in that game, and I was surprised by it. It will not happen again. I think the game in Cincinnati is a tough game coming up. That's for sure. And Cincinnati is a desperate team. They're 4-7. They may have already sealed their fate. However, you never know. They're capable of winning. Joe Burrow's had a tremendous start to his season, despite their 4-6 record. Is it 4-6 or 4-7? I think they're 4-6. Maybe they're 4-7. I don't. Anyway, they 27 touchdown passes, just 4 interceptions, and yet they are where they are because their defense is no good. But I thought the same of the Baltimore defense. It wasn't as good as it's been in the past, and yet the Steelers couldn't score a touchdown against them. So there are a lot of questions here. The one thing I'll say about the AFC, unlike in previous years when I thought Kansas City was by far the best team and Buffalo was next, both those teams are still there, but it is a quagmire of teams. It's not the same. It's available. So the Steelers, by virtue of being in the AFC, have a chance still, despite that loss. They got to take care of business coming up, and a grueling schedule. There's no question about that. 412-928-9370, out to Jay in the north side. Hey, Jay, how are you today?
Pump, how you doing? Love good. Your show.
Appreciate it.
I think you need about a 12-hour show to cover all the things people want to talk about. But the thing that it's bothered me in the past, their alignment when they have short yardage situations, 3rd and 2, even 4th and 1, their halfback is like 7 yards back. And when they hand it off to him, he's got to run 7 yards plus get an additional yard or two. I just don't like that alignment. I don't see other teams use that as much.
I also didn't like on 4th and 2 when Justin Fields was in the game and he's in shotgun. Now, it was slippery conditions to begin with. They were rushed. The clock was going down. I would rather have the potential lure of a quarterback sneak as part of it. You're not going to get that in a shotgun, you know? So, I don't know. There were just a lot of things. You're right. You need more time than just a few hours to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't have enough time on Saturday morning.
Yeah. Anything else, Jay?
No, that's it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Let's try Bob in Mount Lebanon, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hey, to you, Bob.
What's up?
I'd like to vent a little bit about the Pitt football program and Pat Narduzzi. Narduzzi's legacy at Pitt, ever since he's been there, is lack of discipline and stupid penalties. Year in, year out, they lead the ACC in penalties. The man has had 2 good years in 10 years, okay? Mm-hmm. They're going to lose to Louisville today and probably go to another weed whacker bowl. That's his legacy. I hope the new AD, Ellen Green, takes a look at this Pitt football program, because if you like going to weed whacker bowls, then Narduzzi's your man. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I think you're right about discipline. And the thing is, he's a defensive-minded coach, and yet their defense at critical times gets shredded. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And they haven't been able to come up with a consistent flow of offensive talent. Now, you can tell me that Eli Holstein is going to be fine, and that may be true. But a program of that nature needs a really good quarterback. And they've had Kenny Pickett during his time here, but that's pretty much about it, other than some other transfers. But I'm talking about a big-time quarterback recruit who can make something happen there. They haven't had that. But I also think, to your point, penalties kill them. And I don't know how many they had in their last game, but it had to be double digits. So those are things that are the hallmark of a program that needs to be better in those situations. And that's one of the reasons why 7-3 is where they are after 7-0. And that 7-0 was fool's gold, as it turned out. I talked about 11-0 Steelers in 2020. Well, 7-0 provided an unreal expectation of what Pitt really is. And I think today you're right. They're underdogs by 7.5 points. They may cover that, but I don't expect that they win that game. We'll see. If they lose it, they have BC. They could be 7-5 and fall into a number of years that Pitt football has just been 6-6 and 7-5. And I didn't think that was going to happen this year, given their start. 412-928-9370. We got more on the way. We'll take a break. Again, coming up, your thoughts about the Pittsburgh Steelers. What is their ceiling? I also would like to talk about Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. Crosby was fighting Kyle Connor last night. Should he be the guy to do that? Why is he the one doing that, and why is no one else stepping up for him? The fate of the Penguins, who fall again to Winnipeg last night. They got Utah in town tonight. We'll get into that. And Bryson DeChambeau. Have you been watching this, Matt Harkins, this Bryson DeChambeau thing? Okay, so he's a member of the LIV Golf Tour. He's trying to hit. He has a glass house in Dallas. It's a big glass house. And he's really good at this stuff on social media. He wants to hit a hole-in-one from like 120 yards over his house. So he has a mat. And he has a green over the house. And so every day that he does it, he gets a number of shots according to the day. So on day one, he got one shot. Didn't do it. All really good shots. Day two, he got two. Day three, three. Day four, he's up to day 11. He had 11 shots yesterday. He put five of them within 3 feet, but he couldn't make a hole in one. So he's going to go on again today and do it. We've had people try this on their own who are not good golfers. Break windows. Their wives are furious. What are they doing?
I'm not trying that. I just bought a house. I'm not trying that, the new house. No.
I was going to until my wife got the better of me and said, no, no, you won't. She didn't even see my golf game. I'm pretty good with a wedge, but apparently not that good. 412-928-9370 is the number. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. We continue live right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
And we are brought to you by number one Cochrane Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. And the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. 412-928-9370. A lot of people on the lines. Let's get to it. Maddie, shall we? Let's go to line one. That's Charles in Chicago. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Ron Connell here.
Happy Thanksgiving coming up.
Happy holidays, you and your family as well. Upcoming Thanksgiving. Thank you. So just three quick things I want to highlight real quickly. Number one, call me nuts, though, but I don't care. But what was that noise throughout the game? It almost like I was speaking to myself. Don't tell me the Browns have sunk to the Astros of football. Did you hear that?
No, that was where the press box is located. People compound. It's ridiculous.
I know. I just figured. Please don't tell me we're going for
no
controversy like that. Okay.
No, quite frankly, I don't think any of the members of the Astros were there. Altuve was at the game somewhere, but he wasn't near there. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for saving me off the ledge there. Number two, I was just wondering what Justin Fields, what I've been noticing right now, and I've been one of the few people that kind of advocated for this and mentioned, because I'm just still not too confident in him being a long-time starting quarterback. He could still fill in. He's had a decent start to the season. But, I mean, when you notice like how he's doing good with his legs, and now you got Russell Wilson who had a nice streak, still struggled a little bit the last two games. Are you getting a little concerned with some of the play calling? Like, because I noticed in this Thursday night game, a lot of the short yard situations, when they put Fields in there, it's like the Browns were ready for it. And even, like, last game versus the Ravens where he, like, slid, he was inches short. Thankfully, they converted the first down with Najee to close out the Ravens. Do you think they need to do a better job, like, incorporating if they're going to –
Yeah, I thought this was the wrong week to do it. In fact, thank you, Charles, for the call. We got a lot of people, so I'm going to move on, but I hope you have a nice holiday. I think, that to do it on a short week like this was kind of difficult, especially the way they did it. I thought they were going to wait a little bit on that or use it, you know, late in the game if they hit, but not that way, especially it seemed like they were rushed. A lot of the play calls were runs up the middle, too, and the Browns – give them credit. They rose to the occasion in that game. But some of it was that way, yes. I thought the 4th-and-2 call where he had a shotgun and just rolled right and lost two was – I don't know what that call was. So, yeah, I agreed. And I don't know if it was just short week. You got to turn it around and come up with some strategical advantages. Cleveland had the same 3 days rest. That's it. They played New Orleans, had to fly back. So I don't want to hear about Thursday night football. You got to adjust. They know that. They don't make excuses. So no excuses. They lost a game they should have won. Let's go out to Tim in Kennedy Township. Hello, Tim. How are you today?
Bob, I'm doing good. Thanks for letting me use your venue to vent a little bit about the Penguins. Real quick, something real interesting, and I think it's worth keeping an eye on, came out of last night's postgame. Sid was held scoreless without a shot.
Two games in a row now.
Yeah, and Scott Arneil, the coach of Winnipeg, which is just what an amazing team that was last night. They're really good. But he was asked about that with Sid, and his quote, I think, is something to keep an eye on. He said, "I've got so much respect for Sid. It's tough to see what he's going through here. But at the end of the day, we got a job to do, and we got it done." You know, Bob, I don't know of an athlete with more pride that I've watched than Sidney Crosby. I mean, he's been hated, he's been challenged, he's been all the things we've seen, but I don't think he's ever been pitied or been felt sympathy for like that quote kind of indicated last night. And I got to tell you, Bob, if that starts to take hold from this situation in Pittsburgh where the opponent starts feeling sorry for Sid, I wonder if that changes his relationship with the Penguins in this situation, because as a prideful athlete, I don't know of an emotion that you can handle more than your opponent's pity. And that's starting to seep through in that quote I saw from Arneil. Yeah. So I'd be curious as to your thoughts on that going forward.
Very interesting comment there, Tim. Thank you. And yeah, I mean, you don't want to hear that. Sorry for what he's going through. Everyone knows what he's going through, which is the end of the line in terms of this window. They tried to prolong it as much as possible. They believe they could, but because of so many people, you know, looking back now, they should never have done a Carlson thing. They should never sign Graves. They did a lot of things. At the time, Carlson, wow, it's great. You got a guy who's a three-time Norris. He come off 101 points. He was the only guy on that Ottawa team that did anything. And the San Jose team, I mean. So, you know, you're getting a guy who's not good defensively. They've had their own issues with that before he even came here. Graves has been a healthy scratch. You know, I mean, they got problems, and it goes beyond Sidney Crosby, but he's right in the middle of it. And I wonder now if Kyle Dubas would go to either, and they're not going to do it to Crosby, that, you know, ultimately he chooses where he stays. But a guy like Malkin and a guy like Letang, do you approach him and say, hey, do you want to move on? And maybe, you know, we can give you a better opportunity. You know, I don't know they do, but right now they're not a good hockey club, and they're dead last in their division, second worst in the Eastern Conference. Yep. They have goaltending issues, they have defensive issues, and they're not scoring enough. So,
yeah, I wonder if his opponents, if the opponents start feeling sorry for him, if that changes his alchemy with the way he views his position in Pittsburgh. And granted, Sid, you know, Sid's wanted to keep the core together, so he has to own a piece of this too. But I wonder if this attitude, if this starts to manifest itself, Bob, if that changes Sid's relationship with the Pens.
You know, it might. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that, Tim. I know he's committed here for now, and hopefully they can turn it around and they somehow can still sneak into the playoffs. That would be the best thing. I know it is. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And that's one of the things they have to worry about after losing again last night. They have Utah coming in here tonight, and Utah was in town last night, so they are rested for this game. And we'll see what the Penguins can do against a team that they should beat tonight, given everything they've gone through. But yeah, zero shots in back-to-back games. Crosby's one goal away from 600, and yet the stands are largely without people in them. You know, I looked at last night, and I'm thinking, my goodness, there should be more people here because it's a Friday night, and I'm sure tonight will be a better crowd. At least I hope so. At 412-928-9370. Let's get over to Mike in Sarver. He joins us right now. Mike, go right ahead. How are you today?
Good. Who do you think the MVP of Thursday night's game was?
Miles Garrett.
Nope. The lineman who tried to catch the ball on third and seven.
He didn't. Well, I mean, they were lucky that call. It should have been grounding. But because it hit that dude, it became, I guess, illegal touching.
If it hits him in the butt, it's intentional grounding. It hits him in the hands, it's illegal touching.
Right. They still were lucky.
Lucky. Oh, definitely. I mean, they could have still called that intentional grounding, no doubt about it. But, you know, you mentioned Thursday night they both played. Why don't they do what they keep talking about privately? They keep saying they want to have the Super Bowl the day before the President's Day. Give everybody two byes. Everybody that plays on Thursday night, both teams get a bye before that game. And you don't want a sloppy crap that we had to watch on Thursday.
Well, most every Thursday game is a sloppy game. Which makes me wonder about Christmas Day. That'll be the same situation for Kansas City, Pittsburgh.
10 days, three games. You know, they don't care about player safety.
Yeah, they say that, but they don't. They really don't. I mean, their actions speak louder than their words. They do, but they don't. They say it, but they don't.
It's a TV show, Bob, not a game.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks. I got to go to break, Mike. We have Martin in Uniontown. Rich, we got the counselor. Greg, I'll get to you as soon as I can here. We got to take a break. I want to remind you, our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com, as well as Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. More of your calls on the way right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're back and brought to you by Number One Cochran. Go one better, shop in style at Expressway with Cochran.com. 412-928-9370. Also on the text line, it's at KD Pomp. Perry Rotolo says, Bob, is Eric Carlson's contract worse than Derek Bell's with the Pirates? Some of the worst in Pittsburgh sports history. Well, Maddie and I were thinking about this. First of all, Derek Bell's one of the worst. There's no question about that. I remember jogging George Hendrick when he came over, but I don't remember what his contract status was. The Pirates have had some others. Raul Mondesi, you might remember, Penguins-wise, Jack Johnson was a bad contract. Rob Scuderi, second time around, is a bad contract. There have been others. I'd have to take more time to figure that out. But Carlson, paying him 11.5, that's certainly not getting any bang for your buck. We had a lot of calls. Let's roll right through them. Greg in Wilkins Township has been waiting for a while. But, Greg, thank you for your patience. What's up?
Hi, Bob. Hey, one thing I'd like to say, you are one classy sportscaster. I love your show on Sunday nights and I love listening on the radio.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much, Greg.
Two things about the Steelers. One of the things is when you talk about how to use Fields, I think you ought to take a look at how Penn State uses their two quarterbacks and even their tight end Warren, and they mix up with some very creative plays that are just different than put Fields in and run it into the line. So it might be worth a look. The other thing is this is about Russell Wilson and his time in Seattle. I spent about 10 years there before moving back to Pittsburgh. Mm. When Russell starts scrambling in the backfield, the Seattle receivers automatically went into a scramble mode and left their positions and just ran to open spaces. And I don't know that I see that. It seems like they end up wherever they were supposed to run, they stayed there, and that leaves Russell with no open receivers to throw to. In 10 years in Seattle, he seemed like he always found an open receiver after he scrambled for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, those receivers, you're right, Greg. They have to do that kind of work. They did it with Roethlisberger when he starts scrambling here. It's one of those things that you have to understand because he does tend to hold on to the ball a long time. Sometimes he gets unnecessary sacks, I think, in that regard. But thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, and I hope you have a great day. Let's move down to the bottom of the board here. We got Martin in Uniontown who's also been waiting. Hey, Martin, what's up?
Hey, Bob. I'll tell you what. I think the Steelers, that was a trap game on Thursday night. And Tomlin told them they're going to watch that so that don't happen, you know, all the time.
Well, I mean, Mike also said, and thanks for the call, Martin. You know, we got to warm. They took too long to warm up to it. Now, who does that fall on? Is it players? Is it coaches? I mean, you can't warm up to anything. And quite frankly, the first quarter of that game, there was no snow. There was wind, and snow started falling after that. They needed to sustain drives, and they moved it both of their first two possessions, but they could not result in points. The third down and three sack by Wilson took them out of field goal range, yet they still went for it on 58 yards and was no good. Let's go to Rich in Forest Hills, who's also been waiting patiently. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Just two quick observations about the Penguins. One's kind of obtuse and the minor point. The first point I wanted to make is that, you know, this whole notion of the core, if you take Sidney Crosby out of this core, I don't think it's held anywhere near in the same regard. So you can't consider the core, in my opinion, to be this group. It's Sidney Crosby and everybody else. You know, Malkin and Letang were physically gifted beasts on the ice with, you know, moderate to low hockey IQ. They could overcome a lot of their deficiencies with, you know, through their athletic prowess. Now they're getting older. They just can't do that. And that's what, you know, but keeping this core together was what prompted, was one half of the equation that prompted the Carlson trade. Because Carlson, if you'll remember, was going to fix our power play. And, you know, that's just, it's just absurd. But the more important point is, Crosby is going to be committed to this organization through the end of his career, then now's the perfect time to have Ryan Reeves on your team. you don't want anybody to get within 5 feet of him for the rest of his career.
That ship has sailed with Ryan Reeves. You got a 5-game suspension. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying, though.
Happened with Tom Wilson and Ovechkin the other day. That was clearly an accidental hit.
Right.
It didn't matter. You don't breathe on these guys. And for everything that Crosby's done for this town, this franchise, I think a protector, this team is clearly on the decline. The smart trade and probably something Pittsburgh sports fans would appreciate is you get Crosby a protector and
I don't know how you achieve that at this point, but the fact is they should have guys. It doesn't matter if you are a quote enforcer or not, or protector or not. If you're on his team and that happens, I saw Jack St. Ivany did it earlier this year. They need more people just to, at that point. Now listen, Kyle Connor does not play a cheap brand of hockey. He's a Lady Bing guy. However, Crosby took exception to that hit, and I don't know if he was trying to, wake their team up, whatever the case may be. Someone else had to do it. If he was mad, someone else had to come to his aid there.
Well, they had a history, don't they?
They do, but they're not exactly the – I would not have had those two fighting last night, you know what I mean? That would not have been on my list of things I would have bet on. But anyway, your point is well taken, Rich, and I got to run. Thank you. Appreciate the call. We're going out to Hawaii now, and our friend Kevin – and, Kevin, I don't have the Hawaii music queued up for you because you caught us off guard, but thank you, Maile Kalihi Maka.
Hey, what's going on? I'm actually doing the morning walk on the Sony Open Golf Course. I keep telling you, Bob, you got to come visit.
I've played there. I love that place. It's right by the Mandarin Kahala.
Yeah. Well, now it's just the Kahala Hotel and Resort.
Oh, they took away with the Mandarin. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, a couple things real quick because I know you're packed. In order. Penguins. I've been saying this for 4 or 5 years. I was hoping when Dubas met with Crosby when he first came in, this is what he was asking permission for. Until you get rid of Chris, ask him to go home to Montreal. And I got it. Chris is still a decent player, but his lack of discipline is contagious, especially with the success that he's had. And when he was young, he could make up with it with his speed, and he can't anymore. And he's been killing him for 4 or 5 years, and it gets progressively worse. And so that's just where they're at. I hate it because I love Crosby, and to the earlier caller's point, part of it's his fault because he wanted to keep the band together, but Chris has got to go. So enough on that. Hey, I got a question for you. Oh, by the way, tell Chris Mueller that, those Tomlin games I talked about before the Indy game, and I said, we're always good for 3 or 4. Well, I got 3 now. Indy, Dallas, and Cleveland. It's the same old every single year. Everything has changed. Head coaches, GMs, coaches, players, everything's changed multiple times except for one position, head coach. It's a Tomlin thing. It's not anything else. It's not Russ Wilson. It's not Fields. It's not Smith calling the plays. It's Tomlin. And then I got to, just for later on, if you get a chance in the show, because I know how packed you are, is there a location in sports between Penn State, Happy Valley, and Pittsburgh